Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm really excited to have Brian Lee, co-founder and CEO of Ruly AI. I think it's going to be a really great conversation. Brian's journey spans both law and engineering at Google, Meta, and a lot of other companies. And now he's building AI that helps legal teams work faster, smarter, less friction. And yeah, it's going to be a good conversation to unpack this whole thing, what you guys are doing around AI and the law and legal services. But why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, Dean, thanks so much for having me on. Really excited to talk to you and your audience. And yeah, about a little bit about myself, Brian here, co-founder, CEO of Ruly AI. So I started off academically trained as a computer engineer and a lawyer. I think a normal path there would have been go towards IP litigation, which is where a lot of folks go, or be a sort of a patent attorney. And that was never my attraction or early stage. I really liked like the deal world. And I was originally a securities lawyer, but unfortunately during the financial crisis, that set me off in a different sort of trajectory. And then eventually worked a little bit in-house, a little bit as in-house commercial counsel, but then eventually wanted to get back to technology. And long story short, pivoted more to a product management career and worked at Google and Meta the last decade, where I worked on the first Google Assistant, so on the Google Home device about 10 years ago, and then also worked on early large language learning models, or LLMs. We're using them before sort of ChatGPT exploded. We were using Google for COVID misinformation, labeling, and interesting things like that as early experimentation. And then also worked on AR glasses at Meta. So I led a lot of the privacy feature development there for those sort of glasses. I think they're on Gen 3 now with the Orion glasses. So really excited to see that come out. And then we started Ruly AI last year. A lot of it through a mixture of my experiences, first being an attorney and then not being an attorney, and working with a lot of attorneys in my product management capacity with like trust, safety, privacy, the growing amount of regulations. And that's when I realized that most in-house legal teams are always struggling between being understaffed, also needing to use outside counsel, which has gotten like very expensive. I think $3,000 billable hours in New York. And internally, that typically the only tools you've had is a contract lifecycle manager or CLM tool that has typically only served the sales team. It connects to Salesforce. It's good for like sales contracts. So you have this widening gap of percent of my everything else problem to run a company or support a company as a lawyer, just the gamut of we have to do all sorts of things now, from all the regulatory environment to think about like HR problems, since labor is getting more complex, marketing compliance for like regulatory industries. You can't send a tweet out before legal reviews it, right? And so there's this volume of work that isn't just, you know, what the old tools would do, which is sales contracts typically very well. So that's why we started to do Ruly AI. We're a legal intelligence platform. We fuse our knowledge directly with a company's knowledge, like the legal team's knowledge in a company, to give you almost like a tailored legal assistant that shows up in various forms to help you with anywhere from legal research, so you can save on some outside counsel spend, as well as redlining contracts.
Yeah, great. That's a lot of interesting. So like from a legal pain point of view, like what do you see as the biggest inefficiencies inside corporate legal departments?
Yeah. In corporate legal departments, I think you have historically the only thing that people have really solved for is contract review And I think there's just this growing body of work, as I mentioned, that's outside of that is general productivity that's been hard to pinpoint down. And it usually starts with there's a question from the business, which is you're being reactive, or there's proactively, how do I manage the business better? But you don't have like tentacles and stuff to like sense, right? So I think the complexity is because the nature of the job is your general counsel. So it's very hard. Like the only place that typically people build tools are contract tools because it's one area that you can get grounded and usually focus on certain types of contracts corporation deal with. Typically the sales contracts are the best supported. And then even when you get into other types of contracts, those types of tools tend to not do as well because you're falling out of specialty. But it's always like, how do you build? I think the struggle is how do you build a technology solution for a general like a general counsel where like a general counsel team where it's almost like anything, any legal question could be asked, which is why it's also exciting for us now that with AI, generative AI technology, we can actually finally solve this big growing problem, which is what I call the everything else problem for most general counsels. Actually, it's what GCs told us. I have this everything else problem. And that's where we often slot in because we can help you not only on the contract side by reviewing all sorts of contracts and do it inside Microsoft Word and redline it. And we can do it in a way that's not generic, but is tailored to your company's risks and profiles and your playbook. So it acts like somebody in your team. But then with our, call it our ChatGPT for Lawyers assistant, it can also do all the things like ChatGPT, but do it in like a legal assistant way for you, where you get like citations, legal research, but you can also train it with, give it the context of your company with your files, the sector you work in. So it's giving you really tailored advice. It's not like when you're talking to ChatGPT, you get something generic and then you have to like give it more context and all this stuff. That's all built in. So I think like that allows us to really be this trusted teammate that then everybody on the team can really adopt. And then when they, what's interesting is when you, it also gives the ability for someone to share their knowledge so that when I saw at Google, I had like large legal teams of 1,000+ people, or I think it's 3,000 on Google now, but like you would have people just, they'd have a shared inbox alias where you're just asking your colleagues questions like, hey, what has anyone seen this or what are your thoughts on XYZ? But like with our tool, if you've pooled your knowledge in the knowledge base, you can almost ask AI to use the collective knowledge of the entire legal team and tell me what this says, right? Or use all my advice I've gotten from my law firms and apply it to this analysis and tell me what it says. So it's like you're actually reinventing a lot of different things there, but yeah, team, like what are your thoughts on that, I guess? So,
I think that's pretty amazing. I think that's pretty amazing. I
It's kind of
mean,
like you're building a second brain for the company's legal team that then they can reuse in like different manners. That's how I think about it.
yeah, I think that's amazing capability. And how do you like build though that reliability, accuracy, privacy? I'm sure like your customers' legal teams are so, they scrutinize all that so much. And like, how do you like plan for that, or how are you building the tool to gain confidence in those areas?
That's a great question, Dean. So I think one is we started from foundations, knowing like me being a lawyer previously, and then we also have a general counsel on our team. So we hired another lawyer pretty early on who has 20 years experience as well. And then my CTO has a lot of experience building machine learning and also privacy infrastructure at Meta and Airbnb and other places like that and Amazon. And as a team, we know how to build secure, call it secure platforms at these large big tech companies. So we started off from foundations that way and made sure we're like SOC 2 Type 2 certified from the get-go rather than a lot of startups are like, hey, we're a startup, let's just build fast and then try to fix the security later. So we knew from the get-go we'd do that early on. And that meant we started off a little bit slower. And that's okay because we had to take the time to do it right. But then we also make sure that as we're designing the different features to ensure there's privacy between obviously different customers, different team members, if that's what they prefer. So it's like from day one, we already have that designed by lawyers, built by lawyers thinking to serve this audience. And so
That's good.
when we're there, usually the checklist that folks rattle off in the first 5 minutes of, hey, do you not train on my data, on the model, et cetera. Like we hit all those things. But then what's also interesting, Dean, that I will say is often at the end of those 5 minutes of our demo, one of the lawyers on the team will say, "Well, Brian, can you train on how I talk to the tool or use it so it can learn from me better?" And then I always have to point them back to the first thing you said in the meeting to me was, "You don't want me to train on any of your usage and tailor it this way." And then usually it's now it's derived in conversation of, "Can it just train it just for me or just for our company?" And then we might be okay with that, which is like, I think you're seeing this evolution of even lawyers. I think it's just lawyers every day, everyone's a consumer. At the end of the day, why Amazon does super well is they sell convenience, right? Low cost and convenience. And ultimately, if our tool delivers that too in a secure way, I think lawyers will want that training and because it's just going to be a better product at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree. People at first are worried about privacy and security, and then they just want, oh, this thing's really useful. How can I make it better? I just want to be more productive and do quality work faster. Yeah,
Exactly.
amazing.
As long as you can build that trust and tell them and do it in a way that's responsible, then they think we're going to see this evolution and actually the AI tools will get better. I think a lot of this hallucination we already minimize because we can give our tool for each company a lot of that company context. So then it basically, when you have more context, the hallucination gets reduced. It's one way of reducing it. I think there are two vectors of reducing hallucination. It's like you have to have a better prompt or input guidance, but you also have to have better context of what you're putting in the background as well to increase the probability that it finds the right thing. And I think this only gets better as tools get more verticalized.
So, like, how is Ruli AI unique compared to some of these other legal tech companies out there? How are you guys standing out?
You probably heard of Harvey out there or other listeners have, which is a large, they've raised a lot of capital. They're focused more on like big law firms, for example. And then we like to think of it as we are like those big law firms' customers' customer, which is the legal corporate teams, which hire big law firms from time to time for work. And then we focus on them. So I think that's the first differentiation is we focus primarily on in-house legal teams. We do have some law firms that use us, but we're basically 90% focused on in-house legal teams. And that allows us to build towards the vision of being like a fellow legal employee at a company, which is very different than if you're at a building tools for a law firm where law firms are incentivized to raise billable hours and they're actually not really incentivized to be efficient. Whereas in-house corporate legal team is incentivized to be efficient for the business as well as costs. And also they manage risks differently because they're not often looking for the black letter law. I think a good analogy here is how I would describe it is maybe with cars. Like a great law firm's always going to sell you the Mercedes-Benz, whether you need that or not, or the Porsche model. The in-house customers or the in-house lawyer is going to say, sometimes we need the Mercedes-Benz solution. Sometimes you just need to take the subway. And that's okay too. And so there's a different threshold of what they're going to recommend internally to like what legal protections we need or whatever. And sometimes go take this over yourself. You don't need any help. But a law firm will always push like that's their product. They're always like they're like the McKinseys of the legal world or how to think about it. So it's here's always the top shelf product, whether you need it or not. Here's the top shelf advice, right?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because we work with some outside big law firms and there's just too many revisions and too much extra. It's like we just want to do a deal with the customer. It's like that's no one's going to want to sign a deal with us and just make it too complex. And I like
And I
that
think that's
analogy.
the difference. And if you had an in-house legal team, they would be that filter and say, we don't need the Mercedes-Benz solution here.
Yeah,
Like
we don't need
we're good.
protection in those all those clauses and yeah. And then so I think you guys raised capital, right? You raised a little some capital. And yeah, and like what was your key story that resonated with investors?
Yeah, I think like early on, a lot of investors saw this. One, they saw that, hey, it looks like there's a lot of folks selling to law firms, there's a lot of lawyers there. They didn't understand this dynamic of selling to in-house legal teams
Yeah.
because they're like, they're not revenue generating. But then I also said, but the revenue generating side of law firms is also unique because they only charge the actual hours that they work. That's still how the law is currently written. If they save hours with AI, they actually have to bill less. So it's not like a normal revenue generating model of like
That's I never
of
knew that.
why it would make sense. Yeah, so that's why there's still this strange incentive gap with law firms adopting AI tools, because per the law and like how they're governed by the bar admissions, like they're not allowed to bill for hours they didn't actually spend on the page. So if AI is saving you 2 hours, you're billing 2 hours less.
Wow.
Unless you can figure out you're applying those 2 hours in other ways to add to the client. But that's why there's still this like reform that hasn't taken place there. It probably won't take place for a while until they figure out, where AI lands. I think this is some years away before they figure that out. And then in the meantime, for in-house teams, the alignment always made better, but the hesitancy from VCs is it's going to be slower and difficult to sell into in-house because they're non-revenue generating, which is true. But I think what really won our story is that a lot of in-house legal teams are still very point solution based. We set out to build a platform that can pair with the knowledge of the legal team at the company. And that was very different. And that allows us to basically become a trusted member of the team. And we can do different automations as well as the longer term vision. And like we're going to start doing that with building more almost like workforce agents that you can program, like mini employees that can do simple workflow automations. Like maybe when I receive an email from this person, I want to run the Ruli assistant to do a first pass. And then maybe it slacks me or sends me an email with the result. But little things like that is almost like everyone's personal assistant is where we're going next year with the new funding we've raised just more recently. And then so it almost adds this automation layer to our current tools where you can stitch
Nice.
around them and build like your own PA effectively.
Yeah, that's cool. That so maybe that kind of leads into so what's been your toughest technical or design challenge so far? Or maybe you guys are heading into that with these agents or
I think, yeah, it's a great question. I think some of our technological challenges are like our audience has a very high bar for like they have a very high bar for margin of error way to think about it. And so if you think about the nature of a lawyer's job is their job is to think about edge cases and the worst things that could happen. And then protect against that. But you think about what AI tools are good at, they're good at the 90%, right? And then there's like the 10% that fall short. So what happens is there's a lot of lawyers that you talk to that just focus on the 10% of AI that falls short. And you have to walk them through the benefits of, but here there's 90% that like gives you so much value that it almost gives you more time to focus on that other 10%.
Yeah,
And
great
it's so
point.
it's almost like this training lawyers to work a little differently and think a little bit differently with the AI tools, which has been very hard to do. And some lawyers are better at than it than others. We're seeing that, to be frank, like demographics based. We're seeing millennials as being like lawyers who are millennials being the quickest adopters and be able to think about new ways that we haven't thought of and how to use this technology. And so that's the challenges. And then designing a product that then has the right UI and UX balance to help people through this sort of new way of working.
So what, like, how are you doing that UX experience? How are you doing that?
Yeah, so I think like for us, what we do is we try to ground ourselves on something that people are familiar with. Maybe it's ChatGPT or whatnot for one of our main tools. Or Microsoft Word, because we built into Microsoft Word as well, and lawyers spend all their time also in Microsoft Word.
Yeah.
And in early next year, we're also going to launch it in email and build it into Outlook, something exciting that we're going to work on. So what we want to do is to build it in familiarity in certain places, but then what you do next, so people go into it, oh, that feels like ChatGPT, or they're in Microsoft Word, it's a side panel assistant. They're like, okay, I'm familiar because I'm always in Microsoft Word. Then from that point, you want to go build expert like level depth, right? That's really tailored to just what they do on a regular basis. And then everybody loves buttons. So we always have to have this trade-off of you don't want to put too many buttons there, but often people want shortcut buttons. So you find like the most recurring workflows and you build a button around it. So people just click one click review and then it's going to review against their playbook and just redline an agreement. And then it's as if like you had a junior associate do that first pass for you, and then you're just reviewing the work. But that shouldn't be something that you prompt and talk to it like ChatGPT and write all these, instructions every single time. You just want to click a button. So we decide
Right.
when to make it a button and when to not. And then you get a tool that's like very specialized for it's familiar, like the tools that you're using, Microsoft Word, email, or ChatGPT, but then it's specialized and you're like, well, if I'm just trying to do this for ChatGPT, I'd probably sit there for 20 minutes talking to it and it would probably be different every time I talk to it. Here, I just click a button and there's pretty much, it's going to be 95% of the time, this is the expected result because the really team has programmed it behind the scenes too to make that button pretty magical. And maybe on the topic of buttons, one thing that we've done interestingly is called, we built something called Magic Prompt because lawyers have a lot of trouble. And I think this is maybe not just limited to lawyers. I think it's actually applicable to all sorts of professions and legal AI tools. You get like the, it's a blank page problem, writer's block, and you're like, what am I going to type in? So you can type in a few words and you click in Magic Prompt, and Magic Prompt basically writes it into this two paragraph question or prompt until it's extrapolating on what you're probably trying to ask and look into, and it goes really deep. And then you can edit our Magic Prompt before pushing it in. That's a crowd favorite. People really like that. And
That's
again,
great.
that makes your answer better. You probably won't get as much hallucination. And that's why we built Magic Prompt. And if you want to, then you can save those prompts in your prompt library as well and share those along with the team because we're always looking at ways of how to compound knowledge on the team. So you're learning from each other. And then basically your prompt knowledge becomes the button. So in the future, Dean, then you can just click the prompt that you wrote or your colleague wrote, and that's just the button now. And then you get a response, or you can use it to review any document. So that's how we think about these flywheel concepts as
Yeah,
well.
nice. Yeah, I like it. That's awesome. That's pretty awesome. What do you think about the future of legal work? Like, how will AI change the role of in-house counsel over the next few years?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we're starting out now where you have what I call a counsel in the loop mode, which is basically like the interface is still your lawyer who then may be using an AI tool to assist them, and then they're making the judgment and sending it back to like their internal client. I do think there's this evolution of a few things that are happening where there's these AI native law firms that are being created that are coming out as well. So that might change how a legal team might be created from the beginning. You may not even hire a lawyer on your team if they're a really good AI native outside law firm. So as a starter, you may not even hire a lawyer to create a legal department. Maybe that gets pushed a little bit lot later, right? That's possible. Two is internally for the in-house teams, I think you're seeing an increase in generative AI content, like think marketing, moving at larger volume and speed to create marketing materials, or the engineering team creating more work product more quickly with coding agents. So it's almost, I think you're going to eventually get to this fork in the road where the lawyers need their own legal agentic system that talks to these other agents. So you think about it like this, the Salesforce AI agent will then just talk, instead of talking to a human lawyer, they will just talk to maybe it's really AI's agent. And then the AI agents between the different departments, whether it's sales or marketing or engineering and the legal team, will just negotiate it among themselves as AIs. And then if there's an issue that they're like, this is outside normal boundaries of whatnot, we need to escalate, then the two humans get in from like the sales team and the legal team. I think that could be a horizon that happens 5 years from now is like we start to really get there. I think that's certainly a path that we are building towards, but I think that's where I think all sort of work inside the company starts to shift a little bit into we're all like orchestrators rather than you being the cog, the actual human cog, if that makes sense.
Yep, makes sense across
Yeah.
all these
Great.
AI
Yeah.
tools. Yeah.
What are your thoughts there, Dean, on everything that you've been hearing across other AI tools
Yeah,
and the vision? I'd be
I
curious to
agree.
hear
I
about
mean,
your perspective.
yeah, I agree. It's you're really an orchestrator, a manager, a reviewer, and the challenge is what you talked about, that 80% right, 90% right is great, but it's not. You still have to manage it and review it and ensure it. And I think that's the way things are going to go. And the vision of agents talking to agents makes a lot of sense. Just all the tech challenges need to be solved first. And so it's more of like engineering, tech solving problems, but like the vision of what you talked about happening, yeah, I align with that. And then there's just so much regulatory, and I don't know if lawyers get involved in that, but there's
Yeah.
with compliance is
Right.
getting so look, it's just like to do deals and sign contracts. There's so many forms to fill out. And then after you have the customer, you have to keep proving how you're doing things in a safe way, whether it's security or regulatory. And yeah, it's just, I think that, I don't know if you guys are going to tackle that, but that'll be very helpful doing some of
No, I
that
think
work.
there's like this growing, there's definitely a growing amount of compliance work. It sometimes it overlaps with the legal team. We do have a customer that also runs their automatic financial or insurance services, and they also have a compliance team that rolls into general counsel. So we serve both those use cases, but certainly there are, I'm sure, other AI companies tackling insurance companies, banks at large for all this sort of finance compliance. It's a huge body of work that, like, I think it's gotten so complex, to your point, that I think even humans are having trouble keeping track of, what are those list of things that must be checked off, right?
And they'll put these clauses in these agreements, and what even on small deals that you're like, no, we're not going to sign those type of clauses, legal clauses in an agreement for that size deal. And so I guess your software will help there as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm curious, like I know we spend a lot of time or money on just IP, like our branded terms and names, and is someone violating it? Can we enforce it? Is your platform helping in that area?
We are able to help from a more of a general practitioner perspective, from an IP perspective, but I think there are better specialized tools for IP, basically filing trademarks and whatnot, because it's a very specialized workflow. So that's where, like, we don't go in that deep in certain areas. I almost think of it as when you need, our platform is, I would think, more of your like family doctor or emergency room doctor environment. And then there might be specialists, doctors that you need to be referred to. And I think IP is one of those like specialist areas that you need to go check with the US Patent Office and file things with them. And then separately, if you have to go to court, litigation's another specialty area. But otherwise, that might be the best analogy, is what we do well.
I tell you, I would. We could probably use a software like yours, and not filing patents, but like just ensuring trademark infringements and notices out to that infringement, and making sure no one's infringing. Boy, that was just a great,
Yeah, it could
AI.
help you draft some of those demand letters or whatnot. Like that's certainly things that it can help you do. And you can talk to about, hey, it looks like these guys might be infringing on us, and give it the content, and it'll give you some advice.
Yeah, awesome. So how do you like blend like the mindset of law and engineering inside your own team's culture? Like you have a great background for this. So good job. Like good job founding this AI
Yeah.
company. You're a
Thank
lawyer and
you.
then you're a product manager and you've been in tech companies, but like how are you building a whole culture around that mindset?
Yeah, I think that's one of our hardest internal challenges, actually. And it's like one of my personal goals is like, how do I have like the lawyer on my team think more like a product manager or engineer? How do I have my product designer think more like a lawyer? It's like those things are not natural, right? And unfortunately, like a lot of it is me like spread very thinly horizontally across a lot of meetings to build the right touch points and inject sort of my thinking in a lot of places. But I feel like in enough time of me injecting my thinking, and then I'll share my thoughts on, hey, when we saw this other competitor's feature, this is what jumped out to me and why. I think always explain to people why I think that way is getting people to understand, the why. And then when you have like the core foundations of like why a lawyer thinks this is important, why engineers think this is important, why design thinks it's important, then when people understand, okay, I get the why of these different functions, then the knowledge gap is a little bit closer. I also think like I encourage everyone on the team to talk to customers more, whether they're engineers or not, because just talking to the customer and just talking things in like plain English, they'll tell you like, oh, I like this, I don't like this, or I like the idea of this, but I didn't like how it looked and it's really hard to use. And then just like understanding that, I think for everyone on the team, I encourage everyone to just get as close to the customer as possible. And then that really starts closing the gap, right? And I think then if you build a team that then people can just help each other, you're just reaching out to close the gap, and if they can help each other fill in the specialty side, then that's all you need, right? You need the one person on the team to lean in to fill in the specialty knowledge, whether it's from the legal side, the engineering side. And then as long as there's a good foundation of collaboration that that can happen.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I think you're right on with your what you're doing. I think you will build out a great culture around that. Good job.
Thanks, team.
And
Appreciate
then,
it.
yeah, because it's not easy, like what you said, like that,
Yeah, I
it's
mean, we're
really hard.
trying every day. It's still not,
It'll never end, but like
it's
you're,
still not, yeah, it's like an ongoing, it's every single day, right? It's
yeah,
like,
but
and
so
there's
important,
obvious,
so
yeah,
important.
because, yeah, because there's obvious things, you realize there's obvious things to a lawyer that are not obvious to an engineer. And there's obvious things to an engineer that would not be obvious to a lawyer. And then, and sometimes I'll just call those out in meetings with everyone
Yeah, good.
present and say, I know this is obvious to one of you and it's not obvious to other, et cetera. So I think in a weird way, my career progression and why like I progressed on some of the big tech companies is like I just became this translator between functions. And I think that's for maybe the younger viewers out there, maybe as AI is growing, you're thinking about your specialties and whatnot, but there's actually a lot of value to just being a really good collaborator and being a translator between different technical disciplines, I guess, is the way to
Yeah.
explain it. And that's been my superpower is translating between lawyers and technologists.
Great. Yeah, and
Yeah.
designers. You
And
combine
designers, yeah. And
designers,
designers as well.
engineering,
Yes.
and lawyers,
Yes.
subject matter experts, fusing them together, like
Yeah.
you've had a good career journey to get you to this point. Yeah, I agree with your whole strategy and thought process. It's so important. And then you'll build great products and then have a lot of happy customers. And so, yeah, good job.
Awesome.
Looking ahead, if you could fix like one thing about how legal works or happens today, like what would that be? Like, and then what's next for Ruli AI? You talked a little bit about agentic and stuff, but
Yeah.
yeah, what's like some of these big problems that you'd love to change in legal work?
Yeah, I think it's this the one shift is I think it is how lawyers internally think about the work. I don't think everybody is entirely there. Like for example, NDAs are pretty standard today. They're also very difficult practically to enforce. Like why? Sometimes it surprises me when law lawyers spend all this time and even thinking to negotiate NDAs. And I'm like, what's the point? Like, even if you put an AI solution to automatically, help just check that off and literally never look at it, I think your result of using an AI, even if it's 90% of the right most of the time, is going to give you the same practical outcome than if you actually tried to review it yourself. So I think like shifting lawyers to think almost more like a CEO or a product manager and how they think about risk management is, and then if you can see that foundation, then you can think about how can I bring AI in different capacities? Or you have an AI tool only flag NDAs to you on like very specific conditions where you might need that review like 10% of the time. But I think there's still this culture just in a lot of legal teams where they're like, my eyes need to hit every sentence on every piece of paper, right? Which is just not, I don't think a sustainable future. So for, and maybe that tees us up for where we go next. Where we're going next is I think one of the, we're building in more of this agentic vision next year. So taking it to the next level of having more of these programmable agents. But two, we're going to be building a very strong legal community. So I want to actually invite more legal innovation engineers, former lawyers, legal operations folks to join the dark side of legal AI, so to speak, and embark on like a new career where they might be helping us build new features or helping to build a community of learning. We want to start setting up our own workshops or webinars, which some of our customers have asked for. And basically it's like the new frontier of exploring. We're still like a platform tool. Like customers come at us with new use cases of how they're using our tool, right? Because there's lots of ways on how you use it. And we're always like, find that really interesting. And we want to bring our own muscle in of people that can build this educational community and also provide that education and ideas. And we have a Slack community that we've created now that you can join if you're a customer and get the community talking about how they're using it. Because one of those use cases which we learned from our customer is they would send our research that really provides legal research out to outside counsel to validate. And then then they'd say, just validate these two things in our outside counsel memo. And that way, that would save them a lot of money. So they start off just asking outside counsel the first question. They get a $5,000 email, then a follow-up is a $10,000 email, et cetera, et cetera. So they're just like, Well, I actually just sent outside counsel the ruling answers. And then I said, can you just validate this one statement or this statement here? And now that's like very tactical. And
That's
but it's all this. It's kind of like we never intended that, but we're learning about new ways. So I want to bring on more legal AI evangelist type lawyers and paralegals or legal operations folks that kind of want to join us and build from this perspective and not
Yeah,
just
great.
the purchaser perspective.
Yeah, that's a good go to market. Yeah, good strategy. Good job. Yeah, I like it. And
That's awesome.
was there a question I didn't ask that you wish I would ask that you want to share with the community?
No, not in particular. No, I think you've covered a lot. I think this has been a really great conversation, Dean. Thank you so
Yeah,
much.
awesome. If people want to, maybe some of the lawyers that are listening, we have a lot of entrepreneurs and CEOs, and but if they want to get in touch with you, how can they learn more about Ruli AI and how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is www.ruli.ai, RULI.ai. If you're interested there, easily book a demo and we'll be in touch. Secondly, you can find me on LinkedIn, Brian Lee, and feel free to DM me. I answer all my DMs and look forward to hearing from folks. I think that's the best way to reach out.
Excellent. Brian, thanks for joining us and really excited to see how Ruli AI is going to transform how legal teams operate. And yeah, I really enjoyed how you answer things. This, people should be pretty excited about your platform and where you're headed. Good strategy. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. No, thanks for having me, Dean, and it's a pleasure talking to you and your listeners. Thanks so much.
Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot. Post it to your favorite social platform or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen. And if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.